Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
Amen. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Amen. We've been on this series, A Vision with Purpose, and we're going to continue this series. For 2 weeks, we looked at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We looked at David. But now we want to look at Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chesleve, in the 12th year, where I was in Susa, the capital, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnants there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates are burned with fire." And here's Nehemiah. "When I heard these words," I underlined this in my Bible, "I sat down, and I wept, and I mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Look at verse 11. It's the last clause of verse 11. And here's Nehemiah. "Now I was the cupbearer to the king." Again, a vision with purpose. Here's Nehemiah. He is the cupbearer to this king named Artaxerxes. And the cupbearer is in a prominent position to serve the king. He's the one who takes wine. He's the one to walk before the king and put a smile on his face to make sure that the king is doing well. But he's also the one to make sure that the food is properly served to the king. He has the ear of the king, and the king trusts Nehemiah, and this is who we're looking at this morning. But let me back up real quick and encourage you. God wants you to be on mission. Every last one of you, I'll say that again. God is calling you to be on mission for him. But in order to have a clear mission, you have to have a clear vision. And when you have a clear mission, a clear vision, you have a clear destination. That in this Christian life, we are on a journey, but we do have a destination. Our only destination is heaven. That's not our only destination, but that is the ultimate destination. I want to get to heaven, but while I'm on my way to heaven, I want God to do some extraordinary things in me for his glory that would bless his people. I'm on mission. How about you this morning? So God is saying, be on mission for me. But if your vision is blurred, your mission will be blurred and your destination will be blurred. So last Sunday, I come out the groom's room and Miss Erica's walking down the hall and I couldn't even see her because I've gotten so used to these progressive lenses. And I look back and she said, and y'all know Erica, she's a little sassy. "Don't act like you don't know me, Pastor." But I couldn't see her. The reason I couldn't see her is because my vision was blurred. And I said, "Erica, don't do me like that. Don't handle Pastor like that. I can see you, but I can't see you clearly." So I ran out to my car. I grabbed my glasses. I put my glasses on, and then I could see her clearly. See, when we put on God's ocular glasses, we can see God clearly. He gives us a vision that's clear. We have a clear destination, and we understand that God is about being glorified through us, in us, that we may bless other people. So we have to understand we have a vision with purpose. So here's Nehemiah. This guy is a bad boy. He's a great leader, and he pulls off a phenomenal feat because God calls him to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls because the wall is down and the gates have been burned with fire. That Nehemiah is from Jerusalem. And when he gets word that Jerusalem is fallen, that the gates are down and the gates are burned, Look what the text says. The first thing he does is he stops, he sits down, he weeps, and he mourns for days. He fasts and he prays. See, there are some stuff that ought to bother us about what's happening in today's society. That there are some stuff that ought to cause us to slow down, to weep, to mourn, to fast, and to pray. Marriages are being destroyed. We ought to mourn for that. That marriages are on the devil's hit list. And we have to understand that Satan wants to destroy our marriages so he can destroy the church. And even if your marriage is on the rocks, I thank God that he can restore it or get you off the rocks. And if a divorce happens, he still has a plan for your life. Can I encourage somebody this morning? Maybe your marriage is in trouble, but don't you give up on God. Maybe your children are going wayward, but don't you give up on God. Maybe you're not making the money you want, but don't you give up on God. God will always be there when you need him the most. Don't give up on God. So here's Nehemiah. He engages in the process of rebuilding the wall. He gets a vision. And you got to have a vision for your life. So we don't have the screens up, so write this down. I'm going to take my time this morning. Here's the first principle we can learn from Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a burden for God's people. He had a burden for God's people. And the person God uses has a burden for his people. You got to have a burden to not make it about you. Here's the issue with the church. We have made Christendom and the church about us. It's never about you. We've made it man-centered instead of God-centered. If you put God at the center, everything else will work itself out. Can I say this to you this morning? I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ, but put Christ first, put him last, put him in the center, and make sure he's all around you. Because he is the one that would do what others can't do. God-centered. So Nehemiah says this, I got to have a burden for people. And when God uses you in some capacity, he'll put a burden on your heart, and he will use you till he uses you up, and then he'll fill you again. So here's the question I asked for you this morning. What burdens you? So I got up at 4 a.m. and I started struggling with this. What burdens me? The vision for the church. That we are a church, not a social club, but a body of believers called out by Christ, purchased by the blood of the Lamb that was slain on Calvary's cross to be the church. We are a house of prayer that when we pray, God's power will invade the church and lives can be changed. We are a church and we have to understand that. And if we are anything else but the church, the world will fall apart. Let the church be the church. Let the church be the headlights and not the taillights of the community. But here's my question to you. What burdens you this morning? Because we're not just talking about the purpose of this church, but what burdens you. So I wrote down a couple of things. Could it be domestic violence? That you have a burden, that you have gone through that. And now you want God to use you in that area to make sure that you will minister to another lady? Or do you know men get beat up too? You do know that men experience violence too. So it could be domestic violence. What is God burdening you with? It could be that you grew up in a single-parent household, and now you know other single parents, and you want to tell them, although you grew up, you made it. Although you grew up in a single-parent household, God provided. Although you didn't have everything you thought you had needed, you have everything you needed, you made it. So could it be single-parent household? What about a burden to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? That every day we wake up, we should be burdened to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people we come in contact with, because you don't know what word you may say to change somebody's life. Burden. But there's two organizations I work with, Living Word. They're burdened about providing clean water across the world. And then Charm Ministry. They're burdened to make sure that prisoners come out of prison and know the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's them. What are you burdened with this morning? I want you to think about that this week. What is God putting on your heart to give you a vision that you're burdened about, that you will give everything to that vision, just like Nehemiah gave everything to his vision? Because if you give everything to your vision, God will bless the vision if it comes from him. And if it comes from him and he blesses the vision, lives will be changed, the gospel will be advanced, we will make disciples who make more disciples, who touch more disciples, because that's the mandate of the church. Discipleship. So what are you burdened for? So my burden, here's the vision of the church. We are a church focused on growing people to be leaders in their families and communities, spreading the love of Jesus Christ throughout the world. We are intentionally multicultural and a church who equips all generations to be living examples for Christ to follow. So I'm burdened about discipleship. I want us to make more disciples. Disciples are not born. They are made. They are followers of Jesus Christ. And we make disciples by up close personal contact, by being transparent with people, by letting people know we don't have it all on the ball, but we're a long way from where we used to be. And because of the transformational power of the gospel, God has me in a position to serve, to lead, and he can do the same for you. Disciples, I'm burdened about leaders, because everything rises and falls on leadership, that we have to learn how to lead out and lead up and point people to the cross of the Savior. I'm burdened about families. Why? Because the devil is destroying families. That's me. That's the vision of the church. What about you? I'm burdened about the community. That it's a shame that we joke about a young man who shot another young man. We should be ministering to that young man. The church should be at the schools with the banner of Christ, living an example for people that we serve a risen Savior. I'm burdened. What about you this morning? So as I said during my prayer time, I talked to a young man, won't divulge everything, but we're talking on the phone. He said, man, I'm hurting, Pastor. I said, what's going on? He said, man, I just found out my wife has been having an affair for 18 months. And I said, okay, because you learn in counseling, you do more listening and asking questions. I said, okay, what's the plan? Well, I'm on my way from Texas to the other state to talk to her. Okay, great. When you get there, what's the plan? This on podcast? Edit this. He said, I'm going to choke the life out of her. I said, no, you do that, you're going to jail. Let's be real, because there are some stuff that come into our lives that has us emotionally charged that we want to do something outside the will of God. I said, no, bro, you can't do that. Now, if you do that, I'll be there to bail you out, but you can't do that. So we start walking through it. And I said, it doesn't matter what you do, the problem exists. Well, Pastor, it makes it even worse, because I would be all right if it was with a man, but it was with a lady. I said, don't matter who it was with, an affair is an affair. So we start slowly walking through that. And as we walked through that, he said, thank you. I said, because at the end of the day, you better set the law before you. That as you're driving to meet your spouse to figure out how to work this out, God can repair the marriage. You do have grounds for a divorce. I'm not telling you to get a divorce, but I'm telling you do have grounds. You have to figure out what's best for you in this situation. I'm burdened about families. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy our families. And I want to encourage this church to be burdened about families, to be burdened about this community, to allow God to make this vision come to pass in our hearts, just like Nehemiah was burdened about restoring Jerusalem. So that's the first thing we see, that God used Nehemiah. Here's the second thing. Nehemiah had a vision for God's purpose. He wanted God's purpose to prevail. And what was God's purpose? To rebuild the Jerusalem wall. What was God's purpose? To rebuild the gate. What was God's purpose? To use Nehemiah. What was God's purpose? To use the king, who was a pagan king, to be a blessing to a godly man that he can restore God's temple. God has a purpose for your life. And again, I want to encourage you this morning. Whatever you're going through, God has purpose. There's purpose in your pain. There's purpose in your job life. There's purpose in your children. He has purpose. So Nehemiah, he caught a vision. And he understood that God has purpose. So look at verse 9 if you still have your Bibles open real quick. He prays. And Minister Holmes, if you can just cut the air up a little bit more. Turn the air up. Thank you, sir. Purpose. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9. He's praying. And then he says, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered within the most remote part of heaven, I will gather them from there and I will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. Nehemiah is praying, but he's reminding God of God's purpose through this promise in verse 9. Every now and then, you need to crack your Bible open and remind God of his promises that's found in the Word. Hold God to his Word. If you hold God to his Word, God will perform his Word because his Word is driven by his purpose. So what are your purpose for this morning? So he wanted to make sure that he could restore the wall. And the purpose was to build up the kingdom. That's the purpose of the church, Devontae, is to build up the kingdom. Yes, I want God to use you. Yes, I want God to just bring you closer. Yes, I want him to fulfill all of your dreams. But I understand this. God is not about making me happy. He's about blessing me. And blessings and happiness are different. We have to understand, quit asking God to make you happy. Sometimes God gonna make you mad. Sometimes you're going to want to walk away from God. Sometimes you're going to ask God, what are you doing? But at the end of his doing, he has a purpose that's connected to a plan. So it's the purpose. And here's number three. Nehemiah was committed to God's purpose and fulfilling God's vision for God's people with God's provisions. I'll say that again. Nehemiah was committed to God's purpose in fulfilling God's vision for God's people with God's provision. That as we grow as a church, God has provisions for the church. But he has provisions for your family. He has provisions for your household that are connected to his people. That are connected to his purpose because ultimately it's connected to him. So here we go, and I'm done. Watch this. Chapter 2. Nehemiah goes before the king. And if he's the cupbearer and he goes before the king, he cannot be sad. That he always has to have a smile on his face. That it's an insult that if you're serving the king, that you have a frown on your face. So in chapter 2, he goes before the king, and the king recognizes that he's sad, and the king asks him, why are you sad? And Nehemiah struggled because he understood that if he really told the king why he was sad, then ultimately it can end up in death. But here's what I love about Nehemiah. He stepped out in faith, and he shared his vision with the pagan king. And when he shared his vision with the pagan king, he prayed to God. God gave him favor with the pagan king. Come here this morning. God will use the devil to further his plan. God will use people in the world to further his plan. That you have a vision that came from him, and God will use the devil resources to help you with your plan. But do you have a vision? So Nehemiah starts praying. God gives him favor with the king, and watch all that the king does. Verse 4, he shares his concern. And then he asks for letters to go to Jerusalem to go across the waters. Guess what the king did? He gave him letters. And then he asked the king for more letters to take to the governors. Guess what the king did? Gave him letters. And then he asked the king to give him another letter to give to Asaph to get timber to rebuild the wall. And guess what Asaph did? Gave him the resources because he has a letter. God will give you a letter that will allow you to get resources to fulfill your vision because your vision is connected to him. Thank God for fresh vision. Thank God for fresh resources that the king of the universe can move on the heart of earthly kings to help you accomplish all that he has said in your heart. So can I testify this morning? Watch this. So with my job, I'm trying to fulfill some things in Latin America. So for the last 3 weeks, I've been out fundraising. I go to one donor. Brother so-and-so, we have a vision of impacting Latin America with the transformational power of Jesus Christ to and through coaches and all whom they influence. Okay, I understand that. What do you need? I need $2,500 to buy Bibles to give to Guatemala. You got it. Resources. I go to another donor. Hey, I need another $2,500 to buy purple discipleship books to send to the Dominican Republic. You got it. Resources. I go to another donor. He writes me a check for 10 grand. Edit that. He says, do what you need to do with these resources because you got vision and you have a plan and you pray and we can see the vision. I go to another donor. I give him the vision. He writes a check for $20,000. Resources, vision, plan, that God will supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus when you have a vision and you have a plan. God will give you resources. So what do you need this morning? Can I just minister to you this morning? What do you need? Seriously, what do you need? He said a plan. Get you a plan. But the plan has to come through prayer. And that's why I've been encouraging you as a church, slow down, hook up with God through prayer. Because if you hook up with God through prayer, he'll give you a plan. He'll identify your purpose. He'll give you a mission with a clear vision. And I've been closing the same way for the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to close the same way again. Brick by brick. That God's going to build your life. Brick by brick. Brick by brick. Bricklayer, what are you doing? I'm laying brick. Second bricklayer, what are you doing? I'm building a wall. Third bricklayer, what are you doing? I'm building a kingdom for God. And God is telling us, build a kingdom for me. Brick by brick by brick. Resources by resources by resources. People by people by people. So what do you need this morning? Whatever it is, I'm going to pause this morning. We're closing differently this morning. I want you to take 2 minutes real quick. Write down what you need. When we're a small church, we can do this. Write down right now what you're asking God for. What is it you're asking God for? What is it? What provision are you asking God for this morning? I know what it is for me. I'm asking God to build this church. It's not my job to build it. It's his job. I'm asking God to make me a better husband. To serve my wife, not fix my wife. I'm asking God to change my nasty attitude at times. I know what I need from him. But could it be you're asking God to give you your own barbershop? If it is, write it down. To help you write your next book, write it down. Because this morning we're going to stand in faith, holding what you wrote down, and I want to pray over it. Vision. Vision. What do you want from me?